Hello listeners, welcome to Let's Talk Defense, BharatShakti.in's own new podcast. Today, we're going to talk about submarines in the Indian Navy. Incidentally, recently only the government of India has given approval to the Indian Navy progress or start with the process of constructing 6 new conventional submarines for our force, which was a long pending decision. Coming back to the topic of the day, submarines, we're all aware that these are the most complex and potent platforms with any navy in the world. To know more about these scientific marvels, we have with us Commodore S.R. Kapoor, Vishesh Seva Medal, a veteran submariner who has a vast experience of serving on board, commanding these boats, and then overseeing these submarine operations in various senior billets which he tenanted. During his formative days, he had served on both the seaboards, that is the eastern coast and the western coast, on board Foxtrot class submarines as well as on SSK submarines. And then he ultimately commanded a Foxtrot class INS Courage and an SSK INS Sushumar on either side, that is on the Eastern Naval Command as well as in the Western Naval Command. After that, he has also been Chief Staff Officer to Flag Officer Submarines, where he was involved in formulating the policies and implementing them, that is for both operations as well as of submarine safety. He has also held the coveted post of Officer in Charge Submarine School, where he was responsible for training and operational effectiveness of submarine crews, that is officers and sailors. And finally, at the pinnacle of his tenure with the submarines, he was Commodore Commanding Submarines, Western Naval Command, where he was totally, you know, the end authority for operational effectiveness of the submarines which were operating on the Western Seaboard. Welcome, Commodore Kapoor, sir.
Hello, good evening, DK. A very good evening to you and a good evening to your listeners. Thank you very much for inviting me on the show. I'm very happy to be here and speak on the subject very close to my heart.
Well, sir, since the topic is submarines and it is much away from the normal eye, I would like you to tell our listeners very precisely that how the life on submarine on board is.
Well, to begin with, life on board submarine is, I would say, very unnatural and a far cry from the glamour that a submariner carries. And most unlike what is shown in the Hollywood slick. Let me build a picture for your listeners. DK, a submariner's bravado can be irritating, so please stop me if I slip too much.
Okay.
You see, the space inside a submarine, gives a cat-like sardine a new face. A cigar-shaped steel tube, double hull in some cases, filled with gadget, walls, tubes, instruments, hardly any space for the crew. Very few areas to walk. You may collide, maybe hit your head on some equipment. Majority of space in the sub is taken by machinery, batteries, torpedoes, the command and control gadgets. Very little space is left for movement. You know, waters and then all the access channels, bunkers and crew spaces take that limited space. So space is at a premium inside a submarine. That is one thing to be on. Once you're inside a submarine, there is nothing which can be defined as my space or private. Berth that is given to any individual on board, his space is around 15 to 20 square feet. Maybe some place to keep his belonging, a bunk which is hot bunking to sleep. So you find submarines are equipped with some entertainment facilities, DVDs, music and all that, but there's not much time left for that. There is no day and night. A variety of food that you eat is another challenge. Fresh water is very precious. Bathing and shaving are last priorities. Space, water, air, that's oxygen, all at a premium. Communication with the outside world is not the norm. Stealth is the key. So I would say the life revolves around either extremely boring or your world is in danger.
I wanted to, in fact, steer you side only. Since you're saying that, it's first of all very constricted, there is no space to move around, and you are, packed up in like matchbox with a lot of sticks inside, including your, rations, the ammunition and the works. So tell me, sir, what kind of dangers are there?
Yeah, surely I'll come to that. Before we go to dangers, let me just tell you who are the people who man the submarines. You know, all over the world, the submarine service is a volunteer service. So not anybody can just go on board. And you know, life of submariner begins with selection, psychological conditioning, a very rigorous training. So it is not for the weak-hearted. You know, it's an unnatural environment. A human body and mind is not made to work in the unnatural environment. This environment, constraints by the various other factors, give you picture of, you know, a man of steel. And you have to be that. You have to be hardened. And you have to be a little crazy, I would say. Like they say, you know, in the submarine folklore, they say that, you know, submariners are those people. Submariners are a bunch of intelligent misfits who somehow seem to get along, understand each other and work well together. So they are the people who man. Now, coming to the dangers, you see, you are in an environment which is unnatural. You are cramped by equipment all over. You have batteries, torpedoes. You have high-pressure oxygen. You have a recipe for fire. So all these things in a very confined compartment, it is a recipe for disaster. So in the business of submarining, we always say that we cannot eliminate risk. We manage risk. And we manage risk by our training, by evolutions, SOPs, constant rigorous training, even at ashore and when you're on board. So these are the aspects which, you know, one has to be on the lookout. Danger is always lurking. Whether you're on surface or you're beneath the surface, there is always danger.
As I've already said, that the best of the best, and you have correctly brought out, that submarine is a voluntary force. And there is no doubt in my mind, and we all know it, the world over people know it, the people who wear the dolphin badge are the best. Whether they are, you know, physically, mentally very strong, very intelligent, quick thinkers, so that they can respond. Because everything is limited on board. And that brings me to the next question, sir, that what is the emergency response mechanism which you people follow?
Okay, I will go step by step on these. First, to, you know, when you have people coming on board as trainees, you allocate them their duties and responsibilities. Every man on board has got a business to do. Even the cook, in addition to his cooking, he does many other jobs of, you know, manning a certain quarter. In case of emergency, he has to handle that that quarter. He has to make reports. Everyone works on each other's inputs and trust. That is the binding factor on board submarine. And one important element of the submarine in which the submarine operation revolves is maintaining stealth, which is very crucial to submarine operations. Stealth and undetectability. Now, to maintain undetectability is the prime essence of submarine operations. Now, doing that, you have to also carry out your operations, fire or torpedoes, gather intelligence, whatever is your mission. So during each mission, you are operating under different roles in different kind of environments. Each environment brings its own risk. Risk of coming from deep is omnipresent. When you come from deep, there is always something hiding or lurking on top of the surface. For a conventional submarine, when it comes up to for battery charging or for changing the oxygen which is inside the submarine or something like that, every time that you come up, there is a danger lurking on top, unless proved otherwise. So that is one of the biggest danger, that you have to always use your instrumentation to negate that there is no contact or there is no object which is on top, which is coming in the way of the submarine when they are rising from the surface. One. Second, the fear of fire, the fear of flooding, because you're all surrounded by water, high pressure water when you dive. So water, high pressure water, and the electric machinery that you have are total combination for a disaster in terms of fire. And in a confined space, you will know that when you have a fire in a confined space, it can only cause more danger and more damage. The concept of operation, generally, which I think the submarines should follow and they always follow, is not to do firefighting, but to manage the event so that there is no fire, that it doesn't result into fire. So you avoid fire rather than do firefighting. All your efforts and energies are diverted towards keeping the things in shipshape, keeping it very clean, maintaining the electrical hygiene, keeping all kinds of hygiene and SOP, so that you don't get into a situation where there is rupture in the pipeline, in the walls, is there a leak, or any such things happen.
Tell me, how much time does ideally do you have as a buffer? Like when you're operating, say, at a depth of 100 meters, you're doing an operation, or you're doing something, you're waiting for an enemy ship, and some exercises going on. So as a captain, as a commanding officer of the boat, you get a report something is wrong. So how much time do you ideally have to, you know, correct the situation and come up on surface so that necessary preventive actions can then be taken at a deliberate pace?
See, very good question. Now, what happens is that the submarine commanding officer is the hub of the whole activity. In the submarine, the commanding officer, operations of the submarine revolves around the decision-making of the commanding officer. From blowing the heads to firing a torpedo, every decision is taken by the commanding officer in quick time. So the scenario is always built and always ready so that any action can take place. So when you have a watch, the whole crew is divided into two or three or four watches, depending on the strength and what kind of operations you're going for. And each post is manned. So warning at the right time, or before any incident is going to take place, or the moment the incident takes place, that is the first sign or the first report that comes to the control center where the command sits. How soon can that be identified? How trained is your manpower? What is visible to that operator who sits on the panel or who sits on the machinery, and can he observe that fault in a quick time? Has he reported correctly? That is the difference between taking quick action or a initiation or a wrong action or a wrong event turning into a disaster. So all actions, all drills are always practiced, but any disaster or any action or any untoward incidents, it doesn't happen like a copybook style. So one has to be prepared. So the emergencies that we exercise or the kind of things, activities that we do at sea when you're not actually in any against the enemy, when you're underwater, these are the exercise continuously exercise, all scenarios are practiced only to avoid this late reaction. Because the reaction time that you get is when the submarine is dived deep, it is surrounded by water pressure. In case of any emergency, you need to rise up very quickly. But always there is a danger on top and there is a danger inside, maybe flooding, fire, anything. So you quickly need to decrease the depth so that you can take in fresh air, oxygen, you can all these actions can be taken where the water pressure is not acting on the hull. Now to do this, there is a safety envelope with the submarine operates. Safety envelope with respect to the danger that is in. There can be a flooding, there is a safety envelope for flooding. What happens when there is a flooding? What should you do? How quickly can you come up? You have three or four modes. You have propulsion, you have air in the tanks which can be blown and brought up. You have the plane surfaces which give an upward angle to the submarine. So with the propulsion and the air bubble or the air cushion, you can come up faster. All three can be used. Any one can be used depending on what is the scenario. So how quickly the action is taken, to answer your question, is that how quickly can it identify it, and how quickly has the command taken this decision to act on this input and to bring the submarine to a safer depth.
So, Commodore, it's very evident that means that threat building inside and the threat lurking outside, it's always catch-22 situation. Because if you are trying to, you know, take a decision and make yourself vulnerable in a threatened environment, that is also a lose-lose game. This is pretty challenging on the crew of the submarine to handle all these situations. And we fully, you know, understand and realize that these platforms, the complexities in which you operate and the way reactions and the response of the team. And it is, as you've brought out very clearly, it's a whole ship effort. It cannot be, you know, done in isolation. And that is where the training comes in. So very informative talk with you, sir. And we will take this all forward. And today we will stop the episode here only, where we shared with our listeners how complex the operations are and what all are the challenges before the submarine crew when they're operating out at sea. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much for your time. And we look forward to having you quite often on these subjects, which are pretty technological and need a well-experienced man like you of your caliber to come and share your experiences with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, DK. Thank you for giving me this time and speaking on the subject.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.